Seamus Toomey is the editor-in-chief of Block Club Chicago. He joins us right now to chat about the biggest local stories from 2018. Hey, Seamus, how are you, sir?
Great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, doing good. Thanks very much for jumping on the phone. I know you got dad duty today, so you're trying to manage some things that are maybe different than beating down on reporters who are trying to get stories in.
Right, exactly. If you hear any loud noises or something like that, I might have to leave for a second.
Okay, just give us a heads up. Sounds good. Well, hopefully nobody breaks anything while we're chatting. So let's talk about the biggest stories you guys covered at blockclubchicago.org this year. Is the number one thing far and away, or is it a close race? Would it be Rahm surprising us all by not running for re-election?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one. I mean, it was just in terms of things that we didn't really expect. We had some inkling leading up to it that something felt weird leading up to it, but he was still fundraising. You know, he arguably, still has the power of this, the city council behind him. But yeah, when he came out on right after Labor Day on September 5th, the second the door opened and his wife was standing right with him, we knew right away what was going on, that he was about to deliver a bombshell.
And I haven't followed that much since then, but has it ever really come out what the real, do we really believe we know what the real reason is? Was it fear about the Laquan McDonald trial, or just it's getting tougher and tougher and his power maybe wasn't as solidified as it had been?
I would say that the narrative of why he didn't run hasn't changed that much since the minutes and days after his announcement. There was a strong suspicion that it was going to be a very bruising campaign for him to win a third term. He of course said he was confident he'd win, but I think the reality is that it was not a slam dunk necessarily. Certainly, probably not to make it out at least of the round one cleanly. He had a lot of cleanup to do in this city over the last 8 years, and that takes its toll, both on his sort of his political muscle as well as on him personally. And, part of the reason he said was, at some point it's just time. It's the job of a lifetime, but not a lifetime job, was his quote. So, I think it's fair to say it was a little bit everything. Looks in the mirror and says, I'm ready to move on to my next chapter. My kids are going off to college. We've got some time on my hands. But I think it would be foolish to say that, him looking ahead at his prospects of winning a third term, it was going to be a rough road.
Well, do you think at all that this was politically motivated as well? Not just that it would have been a tough fight, but that if he had lost, then his career would ostensibly be over. Do you think he looks ahead at other offices he might still try to run for?
I don't think you'd ever hear Rahm Emanuel say, worry about how this is going to impact his legacy. I don't think he's necessarily that sort of guy that's thinking about legacy mid-office. But, I don't know where he goes from here, frankly. I mean, I remember when he was first elected mayor, Fran Spielman, had him promise in writing that he was never going to run for president. And, that seems, hard to believe at this point that, that he would aspire to that down the road. So I don't know. I'd never rule him out. He's a heck of a behind the scenes guy as well. So, I think his political days obviously are not behind him, but higher office, I'm not sure what it is that he could do.
So the next big story has to be Jason Van Dyke being found guilty, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with all of just the everything that goes along with it, such an incredibly huge story for Chicago for the last couple of years or so from so many different angles. And it continues to go on with the officers who were on the scene, going to trial now. An officer, Van Dyke, was convicted of second-degree murder. It was really a big day in Chicago. I think there was a lot of a lot of, you know, concern in some areas that he may not be accountable for his 16 shots. I think there was a sort of a sigh of relief that you know, among a lot of groups, that this was justice. It may not have been the first degree murder that he was initially charged with, but it seemed quickly that a lot of the people that were calling for a first degree murder conviction were satisfied with the second degree, as well as the 16 counts of aggravated battery, which actually carry a stiffer prison sentence than the second degree. So, huge story, you know, on many different fronts, but it's still not over yet.
Yeah, and we'll still wait for sentencing and for the police that are on trial right now, as you said, to finish up their trial. But spinning out of that, I guess if we're going to talk about Rahm maybe not running because of that trial, then what comes next, I guess, is all of the people, everybody else in Chicago, that seems to be running for mayor. I can't remember what the current count is. I know it was up to 21 at one point. I think some have dropped out. How do you see that moving forward in the year ahead? Do you think we're going to get down to four or five real contenders, or do you think this is going to be a muddy mess all the way till election day?
Oh, I think it's going to be a muddy mess all the way through election day. I mean, we're not that far out. You know, it's February 26th is round one. Someone's got to get 51%, or else the top two go into a runoff. So, you know, it'll be here in no time. I think it's going to be, you know, I think the folks at the top are going to be the ones sort of pounding away at each other. I think the Mendoza Preckwinkle matchup is going to be fascinating, and you know, with a lot of power and a lot of financing behind it, I think they could really, you know, they could really bruise each other up over the next couple months. But yeah, it you know, it's fascinating, you know, that they consider Bill Daley, you know, is, you know, it seems like he's got a ton of money, but he's not necessarily even being considered in the first tier. Well, in a lot of circles.
That's what's so surprising to me is there's the name Daley is on the ballot, but I don't read a lot or we don't seem to be talking about him very much at all.
Right, you know, I mean, we spent a lot of the last 8 years, the Rahm Emanuel years, talking about, you know, the mess that Bill's brother Rich left the city and, you know, did a lot of good things, but, you know, admittedly, and even, you know, Bill Daley would admit it, there were things that needed to be cleaned up, financially, for sure. I get the sense a little bit that the Chicago has moved on from the Daley name to some degree, at least when looking for a leader, and at least, you know, looking from, you know, the same generation from Richard M. Daley. So it could just be, you know, Daley fatigue that, you know, Bill's hitting at the wrong time.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is it that, or could it be he's sort of lying in wait, letting these other people battle it out, and then saving his money for a big last splash?
Could be, but you know, you gotta at least get into that into the runoff if you want to really make that last big splash. So, you know, we'll see. You know, with you know, Paul Vallis, Gary Chico up there, they used to be the dynamic duo running the Chicago schools. Yeah. It's interesting to see them against each other. Amara Enya's a fascinating candidate in here as well. I mean, there it's you know, as a political watcher, it's fun to see this many people throwing their hat in the ring, and they, you know, didn't really expect the opportunity. So they're, you know, everyone's taking their swing.
Yeah, no kidding. They sure are. I guess one of the other big stories you would say this year then on the sports scene would be the Bears suddenly going from worst to first in 1 year. And we're actually thinking about a decent playoff run here.
Hey, how about that? Something we can all agree on, right? I mean, when the Bears are playing well, I feel like the city can really come together in ways that the Cubs can't do, the Sox can't do,
yeah.
You know, even the Hawks. You know, you can argue the Bulls, but you know, no one's holding our breath for a strong Bulls run here. But boy, it's fun to watch Khalil Mack just go after the quarterback every play, and you know, with hopes of getting a sack. You know, it seems like this team couldn't do it for the last 10 years. So it's been fun. It's been fun to watch the Bears to have someone to root for on Sunday and not rooting against them, so they get a better draft pick.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. That is a change of pace, isn't it? Seamus, one of the things you guys do so well at Block Club Chicago is report on the neighborhoods at that local street level. And when I worked there as a broadcaster for you guys, I would love to hear all these little stories about all the things going on in the neighborhoods. And back when it was DNA Info. And now that you guys are Block Club Chicago, you're still doing the same thing, covering on a local street level all the stories that we don't necessarily hear from other outlets. And one of the things I love is you guys always report on a great new bar that opened or a restaurant that closed after so many years. Was there a particular story from this year that you can remember about something that came or went that was really exciting for Chicago or sad?
There's a million of them. You know, we always say at Block Club we love doing the opening stories and the closing stories, but it's the closing ones that really strike a nerve, you know, because everyone's got a connection to some of these places, whether they drank there as a, you know, right out of college or, you know, they wanted to always go there and never did. I'd say one that stands out for us, and it's fresh, you know, the smoke is not settled on Sabatino's, the Italian restaurant, yeah, on the northwest side. It's in Irving Park. They announced their closing back in August, and it was just a bombshell for that neighborhood. You know, it was just one of those places you could always count on. It was a place you had your banquets and, you know, your family dinners and the white tablecloth, the violins, you know, the dessert cart would come to the table. But yet they announced in August that they were closing, and they actually had their last meals on December 23rd, so just a couple days ago. And it's we always say it's the end of an era, but it really was over there at 4441 West Irving Park. Had been in the family for generations, and the brothers that owned it, Angelo and Enzo Pagni, they said, we're getting up there in age. Our next generation doesn't really want to do this anymore, and they were getting a little tired of coming to the restaurant every single day. And so they sold it, and they sold it to retire. Nothing sinister. The place was doing great. They just didn't have a buyer, and they wanted to go somewhere warm, presumably.
Angelo and Enzo are out of the business, huh? All right. Well,
I know. Did you get there before it closed? I didn't, and I regret it.
I didn't. I wish I would have. But that's a great thing about Block Club Chicago for anybody. And let's talk a little bit about the site itself. BlockClubChicago.org is a paid news service. So you subscribe, and then you can get the stories. I go on the website, and I can still get stories. How does it work exactly, Seamus?
Sure. You know, we're trying to do a little mix of everything from around the city. You know, we want to cover the highs and lows of the city. We let people read up to 5 stories a month. They can access it for free without needing a subscription. And our breaking news stories are always free as well. So, you know, if you're wondering what the heck's going on down the street with all the ambulance and firefighters, you know, that's all going to be free. But then it's just about $6 a month or $59 a year. You get unlimited access to all the stuff. And we're excited to be expanding our neighborhood coverage in 2019, and just get back to that level of neighborhood coverage that that you and I enjoyed so much at DNA Info, Matt.
Yeah, and when you guys started out, so you opened up shop at Block Club Chicago back, I think it was in June, right?
Yeah, June 13th was the first day we went live.
So you've been about half a year now, and you've already expanded quite a bit your neighborhood reach, because I remember it was going to start out as 5 or 6. Now when I look at the scroll down, it's a lot of neighborhoods being covered.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to make sure that we started at a level that we could sustain and get an idea of, if people would come back and read us, and it's been great reception from Chicago. We really appreciate everyone who's logged on, everyone who's bought a subscription, everyone who's spread the word. We people given subscriptions for Christmas the last couple of weeks, and that was exciting to see, people buying their kids subscriptions and sending their friends subscriptions. So it was great. It's allowed us to take a look at the books and say, hey, I think we could add a reporter or two as well. And we've been getting some help from the foundation world. We're a nonprofit, so we feel like we can contribute to the mosaic of Chicago with our reporters. peeking in, you know, store windows, trying to figure out where the next coffee shop is opening, why that bar is closing, all that kind of stuff that we found people like to read about.
Yeah, it's good, important reporting. We're glad to have you out there. Seamus Toomey, the editor-in-chief of Block Club Chicago. You can subscribe at blockclubchicago.org. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone, Seamus.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You bet. We'll talk to you again in 2019. He's got to get back to those kids now and keep them in line before he goes back to keeping all of his writers in line. BlockClubChicago.org.